I don't know about you, but I've heard a number of messages on Paul's prayers for others. Paul's prayers for the saints, there are several of them, and they're rich in theological content as well as practical application. And the study of Paul's prayers for the believers to whom he ministered is a rich study. I would encourage you to open those prayers and read them and study them and learn from them. But I thought it might be profitable to talk about others' prayers for Paul and apply that to our own pastoral staff right here, to myself and to the others who serve with me in a pastoral ministry in this church. And that's what I'd like to do tonight. Let's look at some of these passages of Scripture and see what the Apostle Paul asked others to pray for. And then maybe we can add those things to our prayer list. Paul sensed a great need for prayer. I think he realized the futility of any ministry that was performed without prayer. And for that reason, he pleaded for prayer on a number of occasions. Let's begin with a very general exhortation in 1 Thessalonians 5. It really doesn't tell us what to pray for, but it just tells us to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. He says, "Brethren, pray for us." Pray for us. Now, Paul was more than a pastor. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He traveled widely. He founded churches. And unlike the churches of our day, this one man was responsible to God for the ultimate leadership of those churches. No one man is responsible to God for the entire leadership of any church in this day. But it was in that day the responsibility of the apostle to provide the leadership for the churches he founded. He appointed elders, and those elders ruled those churches, and they needed prayer too. But Paul, in his apostolic and pastoral ministry, begged for prayer from his people. "Brethren, pray for us." But what specific things does he want us to pray for? Turn to Colossians chapter 4 and let's find one. Colossians 4 verses 2 and 3. He says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Let's call this prayer for the effectiveness of God's Word. Pray for the effectiveness of God's Word. For one thing, we should pray for the speaker. Paul was speaking the Word. Pray for us that God will give us an open door of utterance. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. But while he was in prison, he was still looking for opportunities to share the Word. And those opportunities were open to him. As we know from the book of Acts, he had freedom to minister during his first Roman imprisonment. And he was sharing the gospel with not only the guards that were taking care of him day in and day out, but with others who came and went from his hired house. And he says, pray that the word of God will have free course. Literally, he says, pray for an open door of the word. An open door of the Word. But I want you to notice verse 4. That I may make manifest as I ought to speak. Literally, that I may make it clear and may speak as I ought to speak. Paul wanted to make the Word clear. He wanted to communicate God's Word accurately and boldly and at the same time graciously. And in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he says, pray that I'll have the opportunities to share the word, that the door will be open to speak to many people and communicate God's word. But then pray that I'll do it in the proper way, that I'll make it clear, make it manifest, open, displayed for all to hear and to understand and to see. And then God's going to be glorified, that I may make it clear as I ought to speak. That's for the speaker. Pray for the effectiveness of the word as far as the speaker is concerned. All of our pastoral staff do not have the same degree of responsibility in communicating the word. But all are involved in communicating the word in one way or another in our ministry here. There are other men who fill the pulpit in my absence. There are others who minister on Wednesday nights on occasion. And they all minister the word of God in their own areas of expertise and of responsibility. And pray that wherever and however and to whomever they minister the word, it will be with effectiveness, clearly, accurately, boldly, graciously, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's going to honor all of our ministries, that is, as your pastors, if you will pray for the effectiveness of the word, particularly on the part of the speaker. But there's also prayer requested on the part of the hearers. If you'll turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course." Sounds the same as the first request, doesn't it? "And be glorified even as it is with you." Free course. That's an interesting word. It's a word, really, as many words Paul used, that was taken from the stadium. It was used of running a race in the Olympic Games. And the word really means pray that the word will run its course without hindrance. No hindrances. Without interference from the enemy, in other words. Pray that nobody will hinder the word of God from taking root in people's lives. Pray that Satan particularly will not snatch the word away. Jesus told us in the parable of the sower and the seeds that Satan loves to snatch the word of God away. The word of God is communicated, it is expounded and explained, and there's so many ways it can be snatched away. It can be snatched away as people sit and daydream or fall asleep. Very interesting situation Sunday morning when a fellow sitting right down here in the front row almost fell off of the chair. He fell sound asleep. You know, he's going like this, and somebody better catch that poor fellow, you know, or he's going to fall on the floor. I just wonder how much of the word was really communicated to him. That's one way Satan can snatch it away. And it also happens when we just get our minds on other things. I realize that, you know, oftentimes we think about other things as the word is being expounded. And since it doesn't fall in the soil of our hearts and take root, it just kind of, there it is, laying out there, and Satan just grabs it and takes it away. Satan has had a heyday snatching the word away for another reason for the last two Sunday mornings. You know, babies can do that in this sanctuary. We love babies, you know. If it weren't for babies, none of us would be here. And they're just wonderful little things. We've had our share of them, about all we can take of them, and we're just thankful to the Lord we're beyond those days. And we're just glad that they come and that their parents have started at a very early age to bring them. But sometimes I'm just convinced that Satan has little pins that he sticks in babies in church. I'm just absolutely convinced of that. And the word is snatched away because people are thinking about other things and they're not hearing what the word of God says and what it means and how it applies to our lives because of distractions like that. Satan can use all kinds of things to distract, all kinds of interruptions. We've had some classic ones in the history of Emmanuel Faith Community Church. Remember that fellow who showed up one Sunday morning and claimed to be Jesus in the middle of the morning worship service? And you know, they're just very interesting things have happened that get our minds away from the Word of God and allow Satan to snatch it away. That's the kind of hindrance and interference that Paul is praying to overcome. What do you do when a baby cries in the morning service? May I suggest to you what to do? Pray. After I sat down 2 weeks ago, I leaned over to Pastor Sylvie, who was on the platform at that time. Jim was on vacation. And said, "Were you praying about that baby, Joe?" He said, "I sure was." I said, "Thanks. The Lord answered your prayer." Because that sweet little baby did finally quiet down. And by the time of the conclusion of the message and the invitation, it was able for people to concentrate, and we were thankful to the Lord for that. But anyway, pray. That is the thing to do. Pray, and the Word of God will be glorified. See it? Pray that the Word may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. It's glorified when it is accepted by the hearers and put into practice in their lives, when it's translated into life. That's what glorifies the Word. And that's what we want to see more than any other single thing. The Word of God put into operation in our lives. That's why we've added something new to the morning worship service. Something to help us all think a little more seriously about how God's Word applies to us individually. I find it interesting that God applies His Word in ways I don't even dream of. I can be preaching and suggesting applications, and someone gets something that was the farthest thing from my mind. Sometimes it's even something that, you know, couldn't even accurately come out of the text, but at least God seemed to have dealt with them about that issue in that service. And it was God's application of His Word to their lives, personally and individually. And that happens often, and we thank God for that. And that's the Word being glorified. So pray that God's Word will break through the barriers. We all come with preconceived ideas, you know. And sometimes God wants to use His Word to really to help us understand where we are in our Christian experience and what He wants to do in our Christian lives. We've got these barriers built up. We come with our defenses up. We're sure that, you know, somebody's out to get us. And so we don't really hear and apply to our own lives what God is saying. All of us have blind spots as well. I've got them. I know I have them. There are areas in my life that God wants to clean up that I don't even know about. I just don't understand it yet. I haven't grown to the point of spiritual maturity where I even know what God wants to do in these areas. My wife's a big help in that area. She can tell me where my blind spots are sometimes, but she's got some too. And unfortunately, she's got some toward me. Just because she's married to me. And there's certain things about me probably that some of you see that she doesn't even see. And God needs to break through those barriers and illuminate those blind spots. And help us see what we haven't seen heretofore. You know, it's so easy to say, boy, that was a great sermon, you know, for so-and-so. But God wants us to apply the Word to our own lives. Pray for the effectiveness of the Word, for the speaker and for the hearers. Let's just stay right here in 2 Thessalonians 3 and see a second point. Pray for deliverance from distractions for your pastoral staff. Pray for deliverance from distractions. In verse 2 we read, remember now, he's asking for prayer, that the Word may have free course and be glorified, and, in verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all men have faith. Boy, there's something you can add to your prayer list for your pastors. Pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. It's easy to be distracted from the task of the ministry when you're attacked by other people. It really is, believe me. I've been there. I can tell you from personal experience that it is very easy to get distracted when people are attacking you. Sometimes those attacks come from outside. That's what Paul is talking about primarily. Unbelievers, unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Sometimes unbelievers begin to attack you. Sometimes it's ludicrous, and other times it's serious. I can think of a ludicrous example. Somebody brought a very interesting rumor to me that I owned a Mercedes-Benz. And particularly there, the drive-by Emmanuel Faith Community Church. And it is a rather large and pretty and an impressive building. That's God's grace. We don't take any credit for that. But the people can't understand how any church can build a building like this. They really don't understand that. So naturally they figure we must talk a lot about money. They don't ever come to find out, but they just assume that. And the rumor was going around that I drove a Mercedes-Benz and the license plate said, tithe. That's true. It really is true. That's true that it's not true that I do it, but it's true that the rumor went around, right? Now, I have to be honest with you, that one didn't bother me at all. I got a good laugh out of that one. But there have been some that have. Some unkind and untrue things get circulated once in a while. Satan loves to do that. And it sure is distracting. Not only happens to senior pastors, it happens to anybody on a pastoral staff. It can happen. It's very easy for someone who doesn't know the Lord to begin to lash out at men who are in the ministry. Pray that we may be delivered from that. And while this is not the primary application of what Paul is saying, sometimes that criticism comes from within. And I would have to say to you in all honesty that that's even harder to bear. Harder to live with and even more distracting. I don't think a man who has never served in the gospel ministry, I don't think any layman can fully know how difficult it is to carry on a spiritual ministry when people are picking at the pastor and criticizing him and accusing him of things, particularly when the things that are not true and misunderstanding his motives and misrepresenting his motives. That is one of the most difficult things in life to live with if you're in a pastoral ministry. And I thank God that we haven't had very much of that in Emmanuel Faith. That has been a tremendous blessing to me. But I think it needs to be said periodically, because there is just nothing that can get a man's mind off spiritual ministry than people picking at him. Nothing. And that goes for any aspect of the spiritual ministry. I mean, I want you to understand, I'm not just talking about myself here tonight. I'm talking about all eight men on the pastoral staff of Emmanuel Faith Community Church. There are eight of us. And this goes for any of us. If a man knows he's under fire, and he can't really keep his mind on what he's doing, he's got his mind on that. He's human. I mean, I wish we weren't human, but we are. And things that need to be dealt with need to be dealt with according to biblical principles, like the principles in Matthew chapter 18. Not criticizing and spreading tales and gossiping and talking to other people, but go to the man. I mean, we're not above the need for exhortation. Believe me, we're not. Now look over at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me show you. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Rebuke not an elder, but exhort him as a father, and the younger men as brethren." He said that says elder, not pastor. I'm of the opinion that the New Testament teaches that pastors are elders and elders are pastors. Some are remunerated for their ministry and some are not, but they're in the ministry together. So what I'm saying tonight, biblically, would even apply to the board of elders, you see. But rebuke not one. Don't rebuke him, but rather exhort him and treat him as a father. That's the way that needs to be done, in love and kindness, like you would come to your father and encourage him in certain areas where maybe he needs to be encouraged. I need to be encouraged in some areas and exhorted. Some things that in all probability people could help me with. And I want that to happen. I have said that on occasion. I tell that to my pastoral staff too. You see anything in my life that you feel needs to be changed, or you think I'm doing something or going some direction that is wrong before God, please tell me. And that's important to me. I want people to do that, because that's what the Word of God says we need to do. But please don't go around criticizing me to other people. That we will have to answer to God for. That's sin. We need to carry out these things according to the biblical pattern. Look over to verse 19 of the same chapter. "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." Somebody comes to you with some information about someone in a leadership capacity in the local church. You're not even to listen to him. Ho, ho, ho! Just a minute. Throw up your hands and say, "I don't want to hear that. That's not biblical. Please don't tell me about that." You take two witnesses and you go to the person that you're disturbed with and talk to him. That's what the Word of God says. Pray for deliverance from distractions. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse... Well, let me begin reading in verse 8. And I think I'd like to read this from the New International, because, as I told you several times on Sunday mornings, this 2 Corinthians is one of the most difficult books to understand in the King James Version. And I think the New International is probably one of the easiest that is of the translations rather than the paraphrases, to understand in this book. I'm not unqualifyingly or endorsing a New International, okay? Please understand what I'm saying. I've been reading it through and I've been finding some things that I don't like, but there's some things I do like also, and I try to be honest about both sides. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril and will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. In other words, deliver Paul from the things that were threatening his ministry and distracting him from the job to be done. Now watch. He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Paul is saying, if you pray, God's going to deliver us from these pressures that are keeping us from full effectiveness in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, our pressures are not persecutions like Paul's were. Far from it. Our pressures are primarily pressures in the area of time or pressures in the area of people. People pressures. People can be pressure at times. We're here to minister to people. But sometimes ministering to people can become a tremendous burden. Pray that we will be faithful to our responsibility, to love people, to reach out unselfishly, to minister to their needs, but yet to be protected from people who merely want to use us. And that happens too. There are people in every congregation, particularly congregations this size, who must find fulfillment and satisfaction by monopolizing the time of pastors. They just feel obligated to do that. It meets a need in their lives to have the time and attention of important people. And so they make appointments and they monopolize time that could be better spent in spiritual service. There are people whose needs the pastoral staff cannot even minister to. And we need to be protected from things like that. They distract us from the job God has given us to do. Pray for strength. We need strength to do the job. The job gets bigger all the time. I don't think many people really recognize how large the job really gets at times. And I don't want to be singing the blues tonight. We're happy. All of us are happy. We're delighted and we're satisfied and we're enjoying our ministry. But it might be wise to know that the Sunday morning attendance, the congregation of our church, is better than double what it was 7 years ago. We have added one pastoral staff member in those 7 years. In the area of music, which is not really an area that helps us in many of these other pressure areas of ministry. Jim Thompson does minister and does help us. I want you to know that. He counsels and he visits and he does other things. He is a pastor in this church. But his primary responsibilities are in areas that were formerly carried on by laymen in the church. So to a great degree, it has not been a relief for the pastoral staff. We do have some other part-time help. I need to be complete in that picture. We've had several part-time visitation pastors. We've had help in the area of counseling. We have part-time help in some of the youth and children's areas. But full-time pastoral staff members, we've increased by one, with more than twice as many people to minister to. I'm only saying that so that you know we need prayer for strength. Because when we get weary and exhausted, that leads to discouragement. And discouragement is one of Satan's greatest distractions in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Pray for deliverance from distractions. Third, pray that we may be a consistent example. Will you turn over, please, to Hebrews chapter 13? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. Now, I said Paul's suggestions, and I'm not saying dogmatically that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't know whether he did or he didn't. I don't really care, to be quite frank with you. That's not one of those things I get hung up on. But it is an interesting prayer request, and it may have been from the pen of Paul. And he said in verse 18 of Hebrews 13, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly." Now, Paul had a good conscience. He felt he did. A good conscience would be living in a way that pleases God, so that our conscience does not convict us. He believed he was setting a good example before other Christians. But he was sensitive in this area. He knew the extreme importance of it, and he wanted to live honorably in every way, he says. It's so easy to overlook areas of our lives as pastors and rationalize certain areas away. And nobody knows anyway. It's not important. It's a private matter. It really doesn't affect my ministry, so I don't really care. No, no. We don't want to do that. We really don't want to do that. I feel we have a right tonight to ask you to pray for us, because as much as we can understand our own hearts, as much as we can understand our own hearts, we really do want only God's will for our lives. And we want to maintain a clear conscience and conduct ourselves honorably in every way. That's what Paul says here. In all things, willing to live honorably. Will you pray that God will help us do that? Set an example before you in every area of our lives, our personal lives, our walk with God, our time in the Word, our relationship with our wives, our relationship with our children, our relationship with other believers, our witness to a lost world. These are areas we need to be setting an example before you. And if we're not, then we need an exhortation in those areas. A loving, gracious word of encouragement. To be an example. That's what God wants us to be. Will you pray to that end? Let's pray. Father, I pray that these dear folks who are here tonight will respond to this exhortation from your word and add these things to their prayer lists. And pray that those who are in leadership capacity in our church will effectively communicate the word and be delivered from distractions of every kind that would hinder us from the task before us, and then to set an example, a consistent, godly example in every area. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.